This is November 29th, 2007, in the year of our Lord. Everyone is looking for happiness, but they're running so fast, they never stop to think about life. Every once in a while, which is very rare, people sit down quietly and contemplate. Why? And they ask themselves, why am I not satisfied? Even though I'm working so hard to attain happiness, and I'm trying to attain peace of mind and happiness, but it is eluding me. Why am I not happy? Why am I not happy? Why am I not peaceful? Happiness and peace are naturally available within us. This is the great secret. Happiness, sukha, atmasukh. You ever hear this term, atmasukh? Atmasukh, happiness. Happiness and shanti. Prashant, we hear this term, prashant atma. Prashant. Prashant atma. You ever hear that? Prashant atma. Prashant. Prashant atma. It means the atma is very shant. So happiness and peacefulness are actually, they're our nature. When one is rightly positioned, he's peaceful. For example, if someone steals, if someone's a thief, and they steal, and they're moving around the streets, they'll always be a little disturbed. Oh, look, maybe someone saw me, and they're little, they can't be, because they're out of the right position. They're acting unnaturally, acting as a thief, illegally. So they're always a little bit disturbed, a little bit nervous. Oh, maybe the police, when they see some police, they go, the police is looking at me, maybe he knows, maybe he's going to catch me. But the criminals, they don't look, oh, there's the police. I mean, the criminals are always careful, where are the police? But the law-abiding citizen, he doesn't feel any disturbance. The police, okay, they don't bother him. He doesn't look at them. But the law-abiding person, he becomes very disturbed. He becomes very worried. So this happiness and peace are naturally available within us. The Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning, it states, what does it state in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, first canto? It states that the only thing that will satisfy us is devotion to God, Krishna Bhakti. Savai pumsam paro bhaktir. Paro bhakti says, yen atma supersedati. Yen atma supersedati. Supersedati. The atma actually only be happy. Yen atma supersedati. Only be happy by bhakti, Krishna Bhakti. Paro bhakti. Paro dharma. Savai pumsam paro dharma yatu bhaktir hokshaje. Ahoitaki bhakti. This is chapter 2 of first canto, verse 6. Savaipam samparo dharmo yato bhakti rahoksuje ahoituki apratiyata yayatma supersedati. Only unmotivated, costless, pure devotional service to God can give satisfaction to the mind and will intelligent soul and everything. Unless one becomes a devotee of God, Krishna Bhakta, no other thing, no matter what one does, will give satisfaction. No matter what somebody does, he will not be satisfied. This is a fact. Because the sages are asking. They're asking Asuta Goswami, Shonaka Rishi, on behalf of the sages at Naimisharanya. They're asking Asuta Goswami, oh, great Rishi, Asuta Goswami, what will make people satisfied? Money make people satisfied? Kamani Kanak Pratishtha, money, gold, wealth, woman, enjoyment. Oh, so for a minute, for two or three, and then, but that, to get that satisfaction, there's so much anxiety, there's so much disturbance, there's so much disappointment, there's so much hard labor, there's so much frustration, and it's material happiness is built in with dukkha. It's like a coin. Coin has two sides, heads and tails. So if you get, you have to understand that if you're getting material happiness, that's one side of the coin. Then you're going to get the other side. Because a coin, you only take one side of the coin. You get both sides. If some material happiness is coming to you, then soon enough you're going to get distress. Oh, I have a very good meal today. Oh, this is very good. I'm very happy. Happy birthday. It's my birthday. Happy birthday. I got all the food I like. I went to my favorite, got my favorite prasadam. And then I ate so much. I'm so happy I'm eating so much. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Ha ha, eat more, yes, yes, more, more, anior, anior. And the next day, oh, no more, no more. Then Eno means enough. E-N-O. UGH. Enough. You know, it's some digestive salts, some type of sodium bicarbonate. Sodium bicarbonate or magnesium is some digestive salts. Eno means enough. You ate too much, you had enough, and your stomach has had enough, so you have to take Eno to get out the gas, let out the gas. So then you suffer next day. Oh, I'm not doing that again. I ate too much. Oh. And then 2 weeks later, it's your brother's birthday. Then you go to your brother's birthday party. Then you eat like the proverbial pig. The proverbial pig. You pig out. You eat too much. And then, whoa, boop, whoa, boop. Oh, I need some soda water. Hey, Junior. Go get Daddy some 7 Up. Get some 7 Up. Canada Dry ginger ale. Get some bubbly stuff. Like when Prabhu was on the plane, he was on a plane one time flying somewhere for preaching, and he had some, because an old person and up and down in a flight, he had some gas disturbance in his belly. So he asked his servant, Hari Sari, he said, can you get me some bubbly? Can you get me some of that bubbly stuff? That's what he called 7-Up, bubbly. Some fizz, some bubbly. So then they got that 7-Up, and then Prabhupada drank it, and so much came up. 7 times. All those burps come up. So this is 7-Up. So this is the thing that the sages, they said, listen, Sutta Goswami said, this is the fact, only by bhakti you can be happy. Yenatma supersediti. Ahoitiki apratiyata yenatma supersediti. Ahoitiki bhakti, no calculation, no motivation, causeless, unconditional, pure devotional service, always acting for the happiness and pleasure of Krishna. This will really make you happy. This is a fact. We should understand this. Why is this a fact? Why is bhakti? Why will bhakti make us happy? Devotion. This is our constitutional position. It's our natural position. In our pure state of existence, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Jivara Surupaya Krishna Nityadas. As jivas, eternal living entities, we are part and parcel of God. And the purpose of the part is for the whole. Like the part is meant for the whole. Right? Like this hand is part of the body. It doesn't have any function independent of the body. If you cut the hand off, what can it do? Nothing much. But in relation to the body, it has so much function, utility. For example, if we examine our surroundings, if we look at the environment in the material world, everything that exists is meant for something else. It's interesting.
Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. What do you think about it? Everything, if you examine your surroundings, everything in the environment, you look at the surroundings, the environment, the material world, everything you see, every person you see, every object you see, is actually existing. It's meant for something else. For example, if you look and you see a table, the table is meant for something else. No one can say that the table is meant for itself. You see, all objects around you, they're actually meant for somebody else. So we too. I'll develop this point. This is natural. The same way our body is not meant for the sake of the body. Like we see this body. The body is not meant for the body. The body is meant for something else. We think it's meant to use this body for pleasure, but it's actually meant for something else. The table doesn't have anything for itself. Someone has to use that table. Someone else will come and use that table. So this body is also like the table. It's an object of this world. And someone else is to use this. We think it's for us. We don't own this. We didn't create the body. We don't own it. We're just living in it. is actually meant for something else. Let's see more about this. Same way, our body is not meant for the sake of the body. We ourselves are not meant for ourselves, because we are not complete and perfect alone by ourselves. By ourselves, we're not complete. We need that. We need things from outside. So everything is meant. We need that. We have to take food within us or water within us. We can't just exist. We're not Aptikam or Atmaram. It's not that we have nothing, no desires. We had desire for water, for food, for sleep. If these things don't come to us, then we're finished. So we're not perfect. We're not complete and perfect alone by ourselves. Only God is perfect and fully satisfied within Himself. He is Atmaram and Aptikam. He has no desires to be fulfilled. Yet God Himself takes pleasure in doing service for others. The most wonderful and munificent manifestation of God is Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is a devotee, which means God is taking pleasure in becoming a devotee. The mood of a devotee. So even God is meant for somebody else. God is perfect, but He's acting for someone else's pleasure. He's coming into this world for the benefit of us. He's acting for us. Showing us how to serve the Lord, how to chant, how to serve devotees. He's acting for us. He's meant for us. So he becomes it, because a devotee means I'm meant for you. What is a servant? Does a servant exist for himself? A servant exists for the master. And he's possessed by the master. He's purchased by the master. He's owned by the master. He's controlled by the master. He's a bought servant. He's a purchased servant. He has no independence. He says to the master, I'm leaving. I'm going now. Goodbye. No, he can't go. He's bonded. He's a bonded servant. His food comes from the master, his clothing, his medicine, and his everything comes from the master. So we're like that. We're the servants of Krishna. Jivara Sarupaya Krishna Nityadas. We're meant for him. And he even acts in such a way, he acts to become meant for his devotees. His devotees are calling him, please come and help us. So he said, all right, I'm come and serve you. And he takes his form as Lord Chaitanya to help the devotees that were in distress. So God, Lord Chaitanya is a devotee. It means that God takes pleasure in becoming a devotee, adopting the mood of devotee. What to speak of us, whose only pleasure is to be a devotee, a servant of God. Ironically, we're trying to be the controllers of the masters. But I can never be that. We're trying to be the master's controllers. God is naturally the master and owner and controller of everything. He owns the entire creation and all the living entities. And He's the enjoyer of everything. God or Krishna is the rightful enjoyer of everything. Yet, He voluntarily takes the position of devotee and feels completely satisfied with that. We're trying to be the controllers. We're trying to be independent. Everyone's trying to be independent. Everyone's trying to control their little piece of creation, their little apartment, their little car. They're trying to control their car, control their piece of the road, control their room. Hey, this is my room. Get out. Hey, don't touch my stuff. This is my part of the refrigerator. This is my shelf in the refrigerator. This is your shelf. This is my peanut butter. Don't touch my peanut butter. Your peanut butter, this has my name on it. Everyone's trying to be independent and control their part, some part. And Krishna, God, who is he's a supreme being. He's created the creator. He's created everything, controls everything, owns everything. But yet he gives up that position to show us what our position is. That God is that one person who actually owns and controls everything. He's the one independent living entity. Nityo nityanas chaitanas chaitananam. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. Eko bahunam. That one who is vidadati kaman, who's fulfilling the desires of the many. Eko bahunam. Bahunam means us. So then he leaves that. He, in one form, of course, he always is existing as the independent controller, the self-satisfied controller. Yet he leaves that form, he leaves that position, adopts another form as Lord Chaitanya, to show dependence, to show the show that this mood of being a servant. He voluntarily takes the position of a devotee, and he feels completely satisfied with that. Well, what to speak of us, the living entity, whose natural position is to be a devotee of the Lord. Now what we're trying to be is unnatural. We're trying to be the controllers, the enjoyers. This is all unnatural. It is all temporary. Therefore, we are always disturbed. The car is out of tune. If you put diesel fuel in a gas car, what's going to happen? So anything unnatural will cause disturbance. We're acting very unnatural, in an unnatural way, by trying to be masters, enjoyers, and controllers. But this is not natural. We're acting in an unnatural way. So we're acting, it's unnatural. We're trying to be the masters, the enjoyers, and controllers, which we are not. So then we can understand why we're always disturbed, why we're tense and full of anxiety. Our natural the natural position of living entity is to be a devotee of the Lord. So when we adopt our natural position, then we'll become peaceful and we'll become happy. When we artificially try to be an enjoyer, the controller, or the master, then we'll be frustrated, we'll suffer this duality of happiness and distress. So this is a very nice point. Is there any discussion on these points?